2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight, 2 Timothy 3. We've taken several Sunday nights now to deal with imparting the faith, passing the faith on to the next generation, and some of the challenges and struggles that are often faced by those who are raised in a Christian home, and also what parents can do and what we as a church can do to try to prevent some of the problems, kind of the crisis of faith, if you will, that often takes place in young people, young adults oftentimes, who were raised around the truth and around the Word of God. Well, tonight we're going to kind of cap off, I guess, that series, not because there's nothing more to say. There's a lot more that we could say, but I just felt that it'd be fitting tonight as we kind of take the evening and consider just kind of the recognition of some of our kids and the work that they've been putting in with master clubs and tonight to just kind of share some things with you from the scriptures. Those of you who maybe you're familiar with what we do on Wednesday nights, we have a kids program. It's called Master Clubs, and this is similar, I guess you'd say, in some ways to like our Sunday school program and that kind of thing. But it's a little bit different in the sense that the primary emphasis of this is really not just to foster a knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, but it's really geared toward trying to help the kids to understand the practical value of the Word of God. And obviously one of the areas that we often recognize them, even in a service, is for, you know, memorizing Scripture and things of that nature. But there's even more to it than that. There's kind of they're encouraged to not only memorize the Scripture, but also to listen to the Scriptures as they're being taught, as they're being preached. We encourage them to take notes and those kind of things. We encourage them to be involved in serving in the church. Some of the awards that we give out are due to areas of service. They can earn awards, for instance, for passing out gospel tracts or serving in the church in some manner. They earn awards for doing devotions every day and communicating with missionaries and giving to missions and those types of things. And so tonight, really, before we get into the message, I want to just mention, and I'm not going to go through every award and every person because there's just too many to deal with, but in a moment I'm going to have the kids who are part of the Master Clubs stand. I'm not going to have them do this yet, but all of them have earned some awards, some badges. You'll see them tonight wearing these vests that have badges on them, and it's things that they've earned for work that they have put in to learning the Word of God and living in obedience to it. I'm just going to mention a few of the rewards or the awards that they have been given. Obviously, Scripture Memory Awards. I think just about every kid on this list has memorized some Scripture. They've put in work. There's devotions that they have to do and things that they have to fill out. There's a Romans Road badge for those who memorize the Romans Road so that they can share the gospel with others. There is a Living My Church badge that has to do with service to the Lord within the church. There's an Around the World badge, again, that has to do with communicating with missionaries, giving to missions. There are badges for getting to know the pastor and asking questions. I've gotten all kinds of questions from the kids. I've gotten notes from the kids. There's just all kinds of things that they've done. And in addition to things that they're doing within the church, there's things they're doing outside of the church. There's Good Samaritan badges and things like that that they get for ministering to people in the community, people around them, doing things for their neighbors, doing things for the elderly. There's just all kinds of good things that we're encouraging them to do through this program. And the reason that I want to mention that tonight is because oftentimes we look at that as an investment that's being made by the teachers or by the parents to try to help their kids earn these things. And certainly it is, but I want to just remind you that this is an investment that we as a church are making in our young people. And it's because we're trying to pass the faith on to the next generation. There's a lot of work, and quite honestly, quite a bit of money that's gone into this program and all the materials and the vests and the badges, and even like tonight with the bazaar, there's things that we've done and made even a financial investment in this program. The reason that we do that is because we see the value in trying to raise up a generation that knows the Word of God, that knows what it means to serve the Lord, to be obedient to the Lord, that knows how to seek the Lord and have daily devotions and those kinds of things. That's why we're doing what we're doing tonight, is just to encourage those who have put in that effort. And so I'm going to call out the names of the kids here tonight. And when I call your name, go ahead and stand up. I'm not going to go through all the awards, but I will call your name and I'm going to have you stand. And I would encourage everyone who's here to just take note of the fact that this is the next generation of servants of the Lord. And this is a worthwhile investment that we are making in trying to help them to know the Lord. All right? So when I call your name, stand up. Connor Seitz, Silas Hoke, Evangeline Bodge, Della Bruning, Philip Weiss, Harper Garn, Gideon Nelson, Talitha Carpenter, Landon, Nathan Hoke, Jacob Nelson, Sapphira Bodge, Haven Garn, Lillian, Cherith Weiss, Ava Hawkins, Isaac Hoke, Judah Weiss, Kenton Garn, Malachi Bodge, Gideon Seitz, Israel Seitz, Jariah Carpenter, Silas Weiss, Hannah Nelson, Valerie Hoke, Junior Bodge, Naomi Carpenter, Jeremiah Hoke, and Sam Bruning. Now look around you tonight. These are the children of our church, sixth grade on down, who we're trying to invest in and help them to know the Lord. That was a lot of names, wasn't it? It's a blessing. I want you to look around and see that these are the young people that, Lord willing, 20 years from now, some of these young men could be deacons serving in this church, or preachers, missionaries being sent from here. Some of these young ladies could be our Sunday school teachers that are teaching the kids and working with the youth. Some of them may be married to each other. Ew. Huh? And have children of their own that they're raising. This is an important investment, isn't it? Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. You can be seated. Another thing I would like to do is recognize those who work in Master Clubs on a weekly basis. And that is whether you are driving the van, picking up kids, working with registration or games or teaching a class or helping in a class or working as a secretary or whatever you're doing. If you're working with the Master Clubs program, would you please stand? I know you don't. I know it's like more than half the church because I see it on Wednesday nights, okay? All right, I want to say to you thank you for the investment that you're making in our kids. And in addition to those, are there some children's workers, Sunday school teachers, nursery workers who are not in this, if you would stand? I know there's more of those too. Sunday school teachers. Mrs. Hawkins, stand up. Thank you very much. Okay. Nursery workers, would you stand? Okay. Thank you for your investment in our kids. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. You can be seated. First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. These are some verses that we've looked at over the last few weeks, but they're really important. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He's writing to Timothy here, and he's encouraging him to continue in the things that he learned, the things that he had been taught. And he says to him that from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Now, this is very important, and I don't want you to miss this. He does not say that from a child you have been around the faith. From a child you were raised in church. From a child you have been religious, or you were brought up with good morals. He doesn't say that. He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And I want to say to you tonight that I believe that it is crucial that we as parents and as a church prioritize teaching our children the Word of God and making sure that they have an understanding and an awareness of the Word of God. And I've said this before, and I just want to emphasize it again. As a kid who was raised in church every week, sitting in Sunday school, sitting in children's church, different programs, growing up in the youth group and camps and all of those kinds of things, when I became an adult, one of the things that I found is that there were a lot of gaps in my understanding of the Word of God. I knew it from the standpoint of the stories of the Bible, maybe some of the key verses that give us, you know, key doctrinal issues. But as far as a knowledge of the Word of God, I felt like I was lacking. And I'm not blaming anyone for that other than myself. But it is one thing that it does is it's a challenge to me to say, I don't want my children to grow up knowing how to play church, but not knowing the Scriptures. I don't want the kids of Mount Zion Baptist Church to grow up and to be able to quote the verses and sing the songs, and they know what's expected, they know where to say amen, they know what to wear and what to say and what to do and how to act, but they don't know God and they don't know His Word. I don't want that for the children of our church. I want them to know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. And so tonight I want to just very quickly share with you some truths about imparting the Scriptures to our kids. The first thing I want to say to you is that if we will impart the Scriptures to our children at a young age, it can ultimately lead them to salvation. Now, again, I understand this is very basic, but I want you to think about this. He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that I personally believe that Timothy was exposed to the Scriptures early on in life, but was not saved until a little bit later in life. And the reason I say that is because here it says that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. Chapter 1 tells us in verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that also in thee. He was raised around the truth and knew the Scriptures, but then Paul calls him my son in the faith. And it seems to me, when you compare and kind of overlay the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the life of Timothy, though the Bible doesn't explicitly state this, it seems fairly evident to me that at some point, maybe on Paul's first missionary journey, Paul led Timothy to Christ. But it was the impartation of the Holy Scriptures in his life as a child that made him wise unto salvation. Now, regardless of when Timothy was saved, that's really a secondary issue. The reality is this: the reason that Timothy was saved is because he knew the Holy Scriptures. Is that not what it says? That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It is, by the way, the Word of God that leads us to Christ. Jesus said, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. It is the Word of God that brings us to faith in Christ. It's not simply a story or even the plan of salvation, as it were. It is the Scriptures, which opens to us the understanding of sin and the holiness of God and the sacrifice of Christ, and ultimately that leads us to faith in Him. After all, the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then it goes on and it asks these questions, right? How then shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? Or how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then verse 17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So in order for a person to hear and believe and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, there must be the presence of the Word of God in their life. So salvation is obviously foundational, but it comes through a knowledge of the Scriptures. I think every one of us here, certainly every parent here who knows the Lord, would say that we honestly desire for our children to be saved. It's the most important thing to me as a father for my children to be saved. I want them to be successful in life. I want them to learn how to read and write and do math and how to interact with people and how to be appropriate in social settings. I want them to learn work ethic and I want them to be healthy and strong and all of those things that we want for our children, but there is no greater desire that I have in my life that my children would be saved and love the Lord. And I am also aware that while that is my desire, I can cram all kinds of knowledge into my kids. And I can build a work ethic in my kids. And I can teach them how to behave in social settings and how to carry themselves in the world. But one thing I cannot do is give them faith that leads them to salvation. I can't do that. I can't save them as much as I want to. I cannot give them a hunger for God. I can't give them a love for the Lord. I can't do that. But one thing I can do is teach my kids the Scriptures. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's great potential here in what we're trying to do as a supplement to parents to impart to the children of Mount Zion Baptist Church an understanding of the Scriptures, how to take the Word of God and find answers, how to memorize it and hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. We teach them these things because ultimately we want them to be saved. For Timothy, it led him to salvation. I want to say also that for Moses, it led him to salvation. I want you to think about this. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus. Exodus, in chapter number 2. All right, Exodus 2, and we're going to look at some things here about Moses. You remember that Moses was born and was hid by his mother because Pharaoh was killing all of the Hebrew children. So she hides him in the weeds or the bulrushes by the river. And it says in verse number 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, what we find here is that Moses, in an attempt to protect him physically in life, was ultimately turned over to Pharaoh's daughter and raised in Pharaoh's household, raised in a pagan environment. But for the first few years of his life, he got to be with his mother. She nursed him. She raised him a little bit. When he was weaned, when he was old enough, he was then turned over to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now, we don't know, you know, in our Western modern society, we typically, you know, a baby is weaned somewhere between a year and a half, something like that. More than likely, at this time in history, it was more common for a child to be weaned maybe a little bit older in life, maybe 4 or 5 years old, being under that care of a nursing mother. Okay, so let's just assume that Moses was 4 or 5 years old when he was turned over to Pharaoh's daughter. 4 or 5 years with his mother. And what does it say in verse number 11? It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew. What was he doing? He was, according to the New Testament, he went out to visit them because it came into his heart to visit them. And he understood that he was to be the deliverer of his people. In other words, in those first few years of his life, the Lord allowed his mother to impart enough Bible truth in him that as a grown man who was raised the rest of his time in the pagan culture of Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, educated in all the ways of the Egyptians, mighty in words and deeds, there was a truth that never escaped him. That means something, doesn't it? You know, Proverbs 22:6, we're familiar with it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that is a truth about the behavior and the response of that grown child, the likelihood that they're not going to depart from the way in which they were raised. But I want you to think about this in a sense. Because there are occasions, there are situations where we have grown children who are raised around the truth, who were taught the truth, taught what was right, and in their older age, they have not followed the way that they were trained and taught. However, can I say to you tonight that it is still true that they have not yet departed from their upbringing? How can I say that? Because the truth, think of it this way. There's a sense in which we say, when he is old, he will not depart from the way. This is the way. But there's also a sense in which we can say that no matter how far he runs, he'll never be able to escape his upbringing. The truth that you are taught as a child sticks with you. And no matter where you go, you can't hide from it. You can't run from it forever. I mean, it's there. It's always there. I'm telling you, I have sat with people in their 40s and 50s who were raised around the truth, who were taught the Word of God and have not lived in accordance with it whatsoever in their adult life. And they've come to me and they've talked to me about how messed up their life is and how miserable they are. And you know what they say? I know better. Why? Because they'll never depart from the teaching and the upbringing that they had. Moses was influenced in those formative years of his life by the truth of God's word, and it affected his decisions as an adult. Go over, if you would, with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, as it teaches us about Moses and his life and the choices that he made as a grown man. Think about this with me, if you would. Again, 3, 4, 5 years raised by his mother, and then in Pharaoh's house, a house that knew nothing of the Lord, knew nothing of the Bible. And look what it says here in verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to me to be quite a bit of faith. To make the conscious decision, I'm leaving Egypt. I'm leaving my position of power. I'm leaving the family, really the only family I've really ever known in most of my life. I'm leaving behind wealth and riches. I'm leaving behind the pleasures of sin for a season. And I'm pursuing after a God that I haven't even seen with my eyes. I'm pursuing something that is yet invisible to me. But the reason that I'm doing this, I'm choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Because I believe that God's way is better than the world's way. Where did he get that? Well, he had to have been taught that from a child. Folks, I want to say to you, and those of you who are working with young people, sometimes it may feel to you that your efforts are a little bit futile and a little bit fruitless because you say, I don't even know how much is sinking in. But understand this, the things that you're imparting to these kids, parents, Sunday school teachers, master clubs workers, the things that you are teaching them now will stick with them through life. This is important stuff. This is very important. There's great potential in teaching the Word of God. And let me say this also. Let's go over to Nehemiah chapter 8. Not only is there potential, but there is more perception than you may realize. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, we're going to read a few names here that are going to be difficult for me to pronounce, so hang in there. Nehemiah 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Listen, you think I'm long-winded? It's like 6 hours. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand. Did pretty good with those. And on his left hand, this is where it gets tougher, Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashum and Hashbadanah, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Look down at verse number 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. In other words, here, I want you to notice here, the congregation of Israel assembles together and they open the scriptures. Nehemiah opens the law of God and begins to read. And for hours and hours and hours on end, the people stand and listen to the reading of scripture. You say, well, who was there? Well, there were men and there were women and there were others. Now, understand this. This is not 21st century. There's men, there's women, and then, you know, there's other. No, it's not like that. Men and women and others, all that could understand. What does that tell us? There were those who were not men or women. They were children. And they were present for the reading and instruction of the scriptures. And it tells us that they could understand. Now, I want to say to you tonight, I am in favor of having programs that are geared toward teaching the Word of God on a level that is understandable to young people and trying to help them at their stage of life. But I do want to say this to you tonight, that kids understand more than you think they do. And they have the perception, the ability to learn more than you might think. This is one reason that I am not a big fan of children's programs that are all about entertainment. I think what we need to be doing with our kids is teaching them the Word of God. Here's the thing. I don't want to get off on a tangent too much here tonight, but I want to say this. So the way that it works in the average church is that we put the kids in the nursery, and the nursery has toys and games, and we read books to them, and we have snacks and all that stuff. And then they go from nursery into a Sunday school class, and there's pictures and coloring and drawing, and then they've got children's church, and it's games and fun and puppets and all this stuff. And they get into the youth group, and it's pizza parties and camps and youth conferences, and oh yeah, by the way, let's have a devotion over here. But basically, their church experience from cradle till adult is entertainment, fun, amusement, and then they graduate out of that, and then they have to come sit in boring church. And we wonder, why are we losing young people to churches that are all about entertainment? It's kind of like raising your kids every meal on pizza and ice cream and candy bars and wanting them to become adults and all of a sudden eat vegetables. It's not going to work. Now, I'm not against fun things. I'm not against having activity. I'm not against those things. But I am against this idea that somehow children are incapable of understanding the Word of God. I believe that this right here, where we've got kids right here listening to the preaching of the Word of God, this is a good thing. And I don't think you have to be a young adult before you can sit and listen to preaching and teaching and exposition of the Word of God and understand some things and learn some things and grow. Children can be pretty insightful sometimes. Some of the questions that they'll ask, some of the insight that they have when you ask them questions. I'm just saying, let's not underestimate the ability of these young people to learn and know the Word of God. Let us prioritize as a church the importance of teaching the scriptures from a young age. And just see what God can do. Amen?